The road to Emmaus, the road less traveled, so I invite you to pray together with me. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for just the ways in which you so desire to speak to us, Lord. And thank you, God, for just that we are in this Easter season, that we serve and honor and glorify a risen Christ, Lord. And that is good news for us. And so we just pray that we just live into that good news, that we can experience that day in, day out, Lord. So we just pray that you would be speaking through your word this morning. We thank you, God, for the season that we're in. We thank you for the weather, for the beauty of your creation around us, Lord. And we just pray that you would give us eyes and ears to see and hear what you have for us out of your word this morning. I just pray, Lord, that this message would be not my words, but your words through your Holy Spirit to each person listening this morning. We pray this all in Christ's precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen. You know, I really enjoyed Easter a lot this last year for a number of different reasons. I enjoyed taking part in my first trek up to Mount Davidson. There was a group of folks that went to, climbed up at, 5:30, 6 a.m. and stuff, and kind of experienced Mount Davidson, that cross. I didn't realize, I'd not been there before. I thought that I'd been there before, but I realized I was talking to somebody afterwards who was saying that, the city of San Francisco really kind of is allowing and letting all these trees kind of cover up for sort of reasons that, and I don't know this, how true this is, but, they just said they don't really necessarily want that cross to be prominently seen throughout the city. It's at the highest point in San Francisco. And you realize, like, wow, once you're there, it's a pretty massive cross if you've not been there before. But there are a lot of trees that are growing and getting taller and stuff, so other parts of the city you can't necessarily see it. But that was really a cool experience to be able to, have that sunrise service with a group of folks. We had a few family activities that we did kind of before and after Easter. We went hang gliding and did some horseback riding down in Half Moon Bay. And then our family celebrated Jenna's 16th birthday the day after, as well as her baptism, which is just something that we were able to really just enjoy and celebrate as a family. I was also glad that I was able to start partaking in some things that I'd given up for Easter. I'd given up sweetened coffee, so it's all good. And as well as fasting weekly, I even gave up the Warriors. So I'm glad that it's playoff season. I can get back into the Warriors. So I won't get into that right now. But just some things that I gave up and said, this is a good season. This is a good time of year just to be in this time. And in a lot of ways, our experiment with having coffee and stuff, if you're kind of have a little qualms with that and stuff, enjoy. This is really just sort of my indulging, saying I want to drink a cup of coffee here in the sanctuary. And so, hey, drink up. I also embraced another 40 days that we're in this season, which is like that 40 days in which after Jesus died and was resurrected, that 40 days commemorates really kind of his time before he ascended into heaven. And that 40 days really does commemorate the time before Pentecost, which is going to be celebrated in June. And so, for me personally, this season is really just, I want to sit at Jesus' feet. I want to be apprenticed to him as my master. I want to learn from our rabbi. I want to allow God's word to penetrate my mind and my heart. And so really, what about you as we're in this post-Easter season? What does this season represent for you? We can kind of be looking at the spring, looking at the weather, different things and stuff, but to recognize that we serve a risen Christ that is so wanting to make himself accessible and known to each and every one of us. And so really, and that is my prayer for you, just to recognize that Easter really was just only a beginning. And the Easter season really is one of new beginnings for you, regardless of whether you where you find yourself in life, or whether you were raised in the church, or whether church is kind of something that you're coming back to and saying, I want to prioritize this. I want to have this be something that is something I want to hold on to. Or regardless of where you're at, Jesus is making that invitation to you this morning to really embrace the sense of new beginnings and saying, I want to just see things differently in life. I want to experience something differently. I want to consider taking that road less traveled. So among the many different appearances that Jesus made in his post-resurrection, the many encounters that people had with Jesus afterwards, one of the most compelling is found at the end of this week's Community Bible Experience readings in Luke 24, which is called The Road to Emmaus. And if you've noticed, we have a couple art prints in the foyer that we've had for a number of years that really are just kind of these two pictures of the road to Emmaus, and then another one that we're going to show later in this message that really represent this story that comes out of Luke 24. And the road to Emmaus, in many ways, it really represents, our ideas of this person of Jesus Christ and his message, the things that we've been reading in Luke's gospel if you've been participating in the Community Bible Experience. The ways in which we have encounters with God in our lives. So often, you know, we encounter God in just ways that we don't necessarily see God at work in what he's doing. We don't always know exactly what he's doing. We don't always recognize how God is present in our lives with us. And yet there he is walking by our side. And that's what we're going to see in this morning's passage this morning. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn to Luke 24. We're going to have the passages on the screen on the one hand, but I do want to encourage you just to go ahead and follow along. So if you want to open your pew Bibles, it's going to be on page 1025, or if you have a Bible app or whatever, I just want to encourage you, because we're going to go through these verses in verses 13 to 31 in chapter 24 of Luke. And so really what we see in this story is that we see, you know, everyone is left wondering, you know, there's all the events that took place with Easter, the crucifixion, the resurrection, all these things, all the Jesus followers are just like trying to make sense of what has happened. And so, you know, they're talking about this. And so here's where we pick up the story in verse 13. Verse 13 and 14. It says, "Now on that day, two of Jesus' followers, they were going to a village called Emmaus, which was several miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened, that had happened until that point." And so, you know, so their teacher's message, Jesus' message, had been so thoroughly defeated, and so they had been so humiliated, and so discredited in the public eye. And so they're trying to make sense, like, what has happened over these last couple weeks and these days for them? And only a week prior to Jesus' crucifixion, you know, Jesus was a rock star. He had come into Jerusalem, taking in all the big city lights, kind of like Times Square. Palm branches were guiding Jesus' way down Broadway, so to speak. And he was ready to take his place, as they thought, to be to just be the most famous king in Jewish history. And that was really at the very heart of first century messianic expectations. You know, no one ever saw in their right mind that this would end with a brutal public execution. And so the story picks up in verse 15. "As they talked and as they discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside with them, but they were kept from recognizing him." And so Jesus asked them, he said, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" "And they stood still with their faces downcast." And so, you know, the response is this, you know, say, well, first of all, it's all over. I mean, they're trying to make sense of what's happened. Everything's all over now. And they thought this whole thing of this intriguing rabbi would amount to something. They had followed Jesus for so long, for 3 years, many of them. They thought it would amount to something, anything. And yet it had all come to an end. There's no way that this should have ended like this. And instead they're thinking, you know, maybe this was just all a colossal waste of time for us. And the hopes of Jesus' followers were ultimately just in threads. And then in verse 18, one of them named Cleopas asked him, are you only visiting Jerusalem? Who does not know the things that have happened here? Who does not know what the things that happened these days? What things? He asked. Well, where have you been, first of all? You know, have you not heard about all these things that have happened now? And so they respond saying, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, on the third day since all this, it's been the third day that since all this took place. In addition, some of our women had amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. And they came to us, and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And then some of his companions went to the tomb, and they found that it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And so, you know, one of the things that they said was they had asked for an explanation of their sadness in verse 21. They says... If we can go back to that slide a couple earlier, it says, we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped that he was going to be the one that was going to be redeem Israel. And so, friends, you know, when we stop and reflect on this, you know, do you wonder that same thing for yourself in many ways? You know, do you expect God, in other words, to work in certain ways in your life? You say, you know, God, you know, I'm going to be praying for this particular healing. I'm going to be praying for this particular job. I'm going to be praying for this particular situation, this outcome that I want. And we often put God in that situation where we say, you know, I want God to act in this particular way. And when he doesn't act in that way, we're like, wait a second, you know, God's not answering my prayers. God's not responding to me the way that I want him to be responding. That was really very much the heart of Jesus' followers in that first century. They wanted him to become king. They wanted him to just overthrow the Roman government. And he didn't do that. And sometimes we might say that to ourselves, you know, we might say, you know, I've given Jesus a chance. I've gone to church. I've prayed. I've done all these different things. And so what has it amounted to? I'm still kind of living my life the way I'm living. He didn't fix my kids, my marriage, my job, my spouse's illness. He didn't help me find a partner. I guess he's not very powerful or loving after all, if he's even there at all. I mean, sometimes, you know, we may not be that honest with ourselves to say, you know, in our heart of hearts, we have these questions. We say, you know, God doesn't really operate the way I want him to, the way I expect him to. And that was very much true for those followers in that first century. And Jesus' disciples, his followers, they had expectations that he was going to deliver Israel from Rome and be their king. And so, you know, Jesus had talked to them about these things. He had talked about expectations, but they just hadn't quite put it all together yet. He said that he would be delivered into the hands of others and be put to death. But they didn't hear what he said. They didn't really, weren't able to comprehend. They said, oh, yeah, no, Jesus is just talking crazy and whatever. And he's going to be our king. He's going to have us experience all that freedom that we want from our Roman oppressors. So not only in the story here, there's doubt, there's confusion, there's maybe resentment, bitterness, anger, frustration for the followers of Jesus. You know, and we too often miss that very message that God has for each and every one of us, something that we don't expect. And so in verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are, how slow you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And then beginning in verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. How foolish you are, Jesus says. You know, Jesus' teachings weren't always very concrete and understandable, which is why, you know, this community Bible experience is really an opportunity for us to say, you know, how can we study and learn together? And, you know, there's parables, there's challenges, there's controversy. And so there's all these different pieces, and there's an element of mystery when we look at Scripture that they, Jesus' disciples, and we need to be ready to hear and wonder and chew on the truths that we have in Scripture. But are we ready to hear those things that God has for us? Are we ready to let God, let our emotional programming not block us from hearing what we don't want to hear? And so the story continues as the incognito Jesus delivers really the most insightful and heart-transforming Scripture study in history. In a lot of ways, he cites passages from Moses and the prophets, and he explains how each of them pertain to the Messiah. He's unpacking all the scriptures for these guys on this road to Emmaus. And he's explaining to each of them, you know, that this long awaited chosen one of Israel, how it all kind of comes together. And I just think, you know, like if I could just kind of trade in all my sort of years of seminary just to be a fly on the wall in this conversation, this teaching that Jesus has for these two followers on the road to Emmaus. And so Jesus is teaching all day and it's going into the evening and his words are captivating. They're just listening to them. They still don't know that it's Jesus. They're just sort of taking it all in. And then in verse 29, it says, as they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued on as if they were going farther. But they urged him strongly. They said, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And so these followers, they want more of what Jesus has to offer. They're asking him to stay with them, to have supper, to share more. And so he does. And then when is it that the light bulb goes off for them? When do they realize, wait a second, who are we talking to here? When does it happen? When do these followers finally get to realize what is going on? And in verse 30, it then says, when he was at table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. And so that's a familiar imagery for all of us. You know, here at Grace Covenant, we celebrate communion once a month, but even just this idea, you know, that we're breaking bread together, that we're sharing. I mean, it's one of the reasons that we prioritize and consider it a value to have fellowship together, to have that time of companionship together. And that word companion comes from the word, which means with bread. You can pull up that next slide. So companion with bread, in other words, companion. And so in other words, what happens here is that, you know, Jesus is saying to continue to remember, to continue to celebrate, to embrace the life that he brought. And we just break bread together and we say, you know, that's when the light bulb goes off. Because in verse 31, it says, Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. So he breaks bread. He gives it to them. All of a sudden they're like, wait a second. Who's been doing all this teaching for us? And friends, you know, this is the way Jesus is with you. Perhaps you've experienced something of the divine in your past. Maybe you say, you know, I remember God had worked in my life at one point, and it just seems a distant memory. And maybe you've sensed something that's tugging at your heart, but it's hard to respond. You don't have the bandwidth to respond. You find yourself at the edge of your seat like these followers were listening. They're listening to Jesus. And this image here, you know, and it might be hard to see, but if you look at the guy on the right there, he's like, all of a sudden, he's got his arms out like this. And this painting is in the foyer. He's like, wait a second. He realizes who's been talking to him. And it's this Caravaggio portrayal of the end of this story of the road to Emmaus. And then all of a sudden, boom, Jesus is gone. Next slide. He then disappeared from their sight. Poof. Jesus is gone. You're like, trying to make sense of all this. And they're trying to make sense of what has happened. And so, you know, friends, this morning, you know, Jesus is inviting you to really consider what that looks like to take that road less traveled. You know, it's so often easier for us to kind of move on, to get back to our sort of family meals and sports. And for me, the Warriors, just focus on all these different things that go on in our lives, the things that we're drawn to, spring baseball, our morning coffee, work life, going back to life as usual. You know, but as I heard recently, Jesus is really about wanting to change our lives, not simply changing our day. You know, once a year we get together for an egg hunt and brunch and Easter and we kind of celebrate that and stuff. But Jesus wants to transform our very lives onward. That's why I just say, you know, we're in the season of Easter. And there's one thing that I can guarantee that each of you are going to experience at some point in your life, and ideally more than just once, and it's this, that there will be something within that draws you, that tugs on you, that inexplicable burning in your heart when God is longing to speak to you and to call to you. And it's really what we see in this story, that Jesus is speaking to them. They're like trying to make sense of it, and they can't quite figure it all out, and the light bulb doesn't go on until they've broken bread together. And he says, in verse 32, it ends with, he says, they asked each other, were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on that road and opened scripture to us? And so, friends, you know, that's when they recognized Jesus. That is the road less traveled. Asking Jesus, what does he want to say to each and every one of us? What is Jesus doing in our lives? To let it sink in, to let it cut to your hearts, to be open to that encounter with God. And for those disciples, you know, they hang around with him for a long time. They listened to him. They talked to him. They studied the Hebrew scriptures together. And when they recognized him, at this point, it became a new beginning for them, with nothing ever going to be the same, ever being the same again. They had experienced the resurrection. They were making sense of it. But at this point on, they're like, wow, now we're seeing it all come together. And so, friends, you know, it's so easy for us to kind of just dismiss those promptings that God puts in our hearts always. He's always at work in each and every one of our hearts. He's always working in us. And sometimes we're like, you know, I sense something, but I got to go on and do what I got to do. And we don't sit long enough to pay attention to God at work in our lives. And it's so easy to not notice those encounters when we're inundated by just the unsustainable pace of life, the drama that we have with our children or with our grandchildren or family members, the health challenges that can debilitate us, the interest in the hobbies and the things that vie for our attention, the hurts from our past with the church that can become a stumbling block, the commitments that we have to so many things but Jesus. And all these things and so much more become a part of this hectic drama that we call life. And so for these followers on the road to Emmaus, they too had their distractions. They're trying to make sense of what's happened. But why does it take so long for Jesus to reveal himself to them? Why is it that it wasn't long until this extended Bible study, well into the evening, when they're back home, when they're breaking bread together and having supper, that he reveals himself to us? Because, you know, we too need to cut off those distractions that we have in life. Just long enough to listen, to pay attention, to say, you know, God is doing something in my life. Because, you know, we need to be wary of the things that can lead us to become too busy, too stressed, or too focused on things that may seem important to us. But when you really think about it, they're not really that important in the bigger scheme of life. I mean, Jesus is what's important to us. That's what this season of Easter is all about, that we worship a risen Christ. And so this morning, friends, you know, Jesus is longing to have each and every one of you to reveal himself to you as the one who lives, who conquered sin and death, who offers each and every one of you new life. And Jesus walks along your paths, your roads, in whatever places that you find yourself in. And he speaks to your hearts. He speaks to you in life-changing ways. And so, friends, this morning, you can be one of those on the road to the road less traveled. You can be a follower on the road less traveled. And that's the invitation that God is making to you this morning. Whether you walk with him for a long time, whether you're just beginning to pay attention to him, to say, you know, I want to make a recommitment to him in some way, whatever it may be, you know, just to continue walking with Jesus a little bit farther, just continue along with him to hear what he has to say just a little bit longer, because that's when you get to the point where you're going to have that burning in your heart and say, you know, there's good news that I want to experience and I want to receive. And God wants you to know that all these things that he's saying, you know, he's saying them to you and to you and to each and every one of you. And it's in that time that you can realize that Jesus has been walking with you all along to say, you know, Jesus has been walking with me through these experiences, through this busyness, through these things I'm going through. And then he begins to reveal himself in ways that the light bulb goes off. And so, friends, push away all the distractions so that you can listen, that you can hear the compelling words that he wants you to speak to your heart. Don't let the rush of plans and tasks and everything else get in that way, to listen to his voice, to allow him to speak his love and to let his truth sink deep into your hearts. Because, friends, you know, we were made for relationship with Jesus. I mean, that is the truth of the gospel. That empty tomb is the crux of the Christian faith, because the God of the universe, he came down in human form to encounter us, to make himself known to us, to make himself available to us, to become Emmanuel, God with us, so that we might be in relationship with him, so that we might know him in an intimate and a personal way. And so this morning, just press in and invite Jesus to go deeper in you, to say, I want to see how Jesus has been walking along that path with me. And I want to have that light bulb go off, and I want to see and say, wow, Jesus has been working in me that whole time. So I want you to take a moment. I want you to take a moment as Erwin comes up, and just take a moment of silence for now and close your eyes for a moment. I want you to recognize, you know, that we are on holy ground this morning. We are in the presence of the risen Christ. And so Jesus is inviting you to take that road less traveled, to breathe in deeply the revelation that Christ so longs to bring to you. And Jesus is saying to you, I love you. You are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. For I died for you. I want to walk alongside you on the roads that you travel. Will you take time to walk with me? Will you take time to listen to my voice? I took your sin on the cross. Yes, even that particular sin that you might be thinking like, no, that's too much. It no longer has a hold on you. It's been paid for, and you are free to live a life that's unencumbered by the debt of sin. I have paid the price, Jesus is saying to you.